It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Welcome in on a happy little Wednesday to the firm of Harris and Meringue. Patrick Harris, yours truly with you. To my left, that's Danny Meringue. Jeff Rust over there on the ones and twos. Hump day?
Some of them, anyways.
Some of it, anyways. What does that mean?
Some of him.
Me. Some of him. Some of you.
Yeah.
You're just partial you.
I'm partially here today.
Are we playing Hurt today?
We're playing Hurt today.
Oh, all right. Are we like Jordan flu game, or are we like Herbert broken hand game?
We hit our head in the toilet this morning, so.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Dude, I've been nice. Asking you all morning. You buried the lead on me?
Yeah. I'm okay.
Did you come to a vision of a flux capacitor after hitting your head on the toilet seat?
Yeah, no, we're good.
If we could time travel because you rocked your dome, that'd be awesome.
I wish it was simple as just rocking my dome. That's for sure. I don't know about you guys. When I get that feeling, I am finger down the throat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
I went it over with.
Oh, anytime.
Well, it didn't stop.
See, I don't ever have to go that far to, like, make myself do it. I'm like, if I feel like it's coming, I just give up. I go in there, put my face in the porcelain, and just let it go.
You know, it's funny. It's sometimes like it's a clean bowl in the sense of like it's been flushed. There's no lingering from the previous use.
Yes.
But it's like when I get down on all knees and I put my head in that bowl, it's like the body's like, nice, we're ready.
Yeah.
We're ready. One time I had to throw up because I was so drunk, shockingly.
Mm.
I lived in Pullman, Washington.
I don't know how that goes.
Have you guys heard of Pullman, Washington? It was my 21st birthday, and we went to the bar at midnight. You know, I like turned 21 at midnight. I went to the bar. I walked home, and I was so drunk that I realized I needed to throw up, okay? So I get into my bathroom, and there's the toilet right next to the shower, which is a tub with a shower head in it. And I know I have to throw up. And the last thing I remember is feeling the edge of the tub, looking in the tub and going, yeah, this is my place. I threw up all. It was like Wing Wednesday at the bar
tub?
That night.
Ugh.
Yeah, dude. It was so dumb. It was one of the worst cleanup jobs I've ever had in my life.
Can't waffle stomp that down.
No, you can't. Not at all. But the toilet was right there, bro. Right there.
God.
I think after yesterday, I've decided to just share with you guys all my wild stories.
No. It's all good.
No, I have slowed down as an old man. And
we're tight. We're tight. We're family now.
I'm very, very excited to be slowing down as an old man. But maybe that's what makes these stories that much sweeter, you know, have that much more fun with it.
This one, too. We're going to go full gross. Is it worse to like actually throw up or dry heave? Mine was all dry heave.
Oh, dry heaving is awful.
That's all I have.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah. That's because, look, if you can't get everything out in, like, the first effort, then, yes, there's something wrong.
There's nothing in my stomach.
If you're not better after that first go-around, there's something not right.
Yeah, I am... Yeah, I'm still fighting it.
Dang, dude.
So.
You need to get a sketch pad out and see what kind of invention is going to come to your head.
Yeah, right. I need to hit my head is what I need to do.
What is a good invention we could use right now? Because you've already created the flux capacitor hitting your head on the toilet.
I mean, time machine would be super helpful.
Time machine would be great. Would you invest in Apple or IBM?
I would invest in Lugol.
There you go.
Lugol.
Yeah. A little hot tub time machine action. Yes. I like it.
What's
Lugol? Oh.
I'm very, very frustrated that during COVID, I did not see the Zoom thing happen.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would have been huge.
Well, what was the other one?
That would have been huge.
What was the guy?
It's because you're not a congressssman in the United States.
Already had the inside traffic.
Or defense deals. Yeah. Who's the local guy? Kurt Brown. Is it Zoom Care or Zoom Info? One of those companies he owns. The shares of that company went bonkers.
Yeah, because what?
But he lost a huge chunk of it when things started to open back up because it was, you know, remote healthcare.
And Zoom, the web streaming camera service, like Zoom killed Skype.
Yeah.
Skype was the number one service. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I don't know what they did. I don't know if it's because Zoom is like
simple and great branding.
I forgot about Skype.
Become a verb, you know, like Google has become a verb.
Yeah.
Zoom became Google a verb.
Go have a Zoom because yeah,
yeah.
Because
I just zoomed it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people use Microsoft Teams, and God, what that product is nightmare fuel.
But people still say, "Oh, we got to Zoom." I mean, yeah. We have Teams, but we got to Zoom.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because it became ubiquitous. It became Kleenex. It became Google.
Yeah,
I was gonna say
nobody says a tissue. Nobody nobody asks for a cotton swab.
It's Kleenex and a Q-tip.
Yeah,
and like if you're from me and you're from Southern California at around a certain time, everything's a Coke.
Oh, yeah,
that's
I never lived
in the South.
There's no soda, there's no pop, everything's a Coke.
Yeah, I think that's how it is in the South, like Texas, and especially down in the Southeast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can I get a Coke? And they're like, oh, yeah, what would you like? Yeah. I'll have a Sprite.
Yeah, but like, I just asked you for a Coke.
Yeah.
Give me a Coke.
Mm.
Yeah. I lived in soda world. My dad always called it pop. I never liked pop.
When I was a kid, it was pop. My mom even turned three words into one. She would call it a can of pop. You want a can of pop?
Yeah, my dad always said pop. I think I preferred soda because it made more sense. Pop, I don't know, maybe I was a music kid, and like pop made me think of music.
Mm. Mm.
Popular.
Yeah.
I wonder these days with the new kids and the old K-pop Demon Hunters if they're going to go back to the pop with with that song from the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. My kids watch that, but I haven't seen it.
So you're the whole, you're my soda pop, my little soda pop.
Oh, I don't know the song.
Oh,
Should that be a future bump back song?
I hear that multiple times a day.
I never watched that. Was it any good? Like, I watch a ton of stuff with my kids.
Of course it's not any good.
I watch a ton of stuff with my kids, and some of it's not bad. My middle kid is watching Hannah Montana right now.
Oh.
And so I'm watching some Hannah Montana.
Sorry.
It's not bad. Didn't that run
for a really long time?
It's Miley. That's how we got introduced to Miley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it ran for a few seasons. Yeah, I don't know.
Mm.
What's another one?
Four,
they
five,
watch?
Oh,
maybe
17?
Maybe it was just. Yeah, I would say maybe it was just reruns forever. I never watched it. But
there's this Disney Channel show they watch, Livin' Maddie, with this girl who plays these twin sisters.
Yep,
it's one actor who plays twin sisters.
Yep,
one is like a nerdy basketball player, and the other is like a pop star who's decided to move home with her family for her senior year of high school.
Is that the one? Is that the actress that she went on to go in, like in the Descendants movies too?
I'm not sure, but I think she's had a ton of work done, so it's like sad, you know. Not quite like Amanda Bynes down the chute, but
that's a deep dive.
But not, but you know, Hilary Duff doing all right these days. My girl Lizzie McGuire.
It is, yes, Livin' Maddie. It's the same actress. She does the Descendants movies.
No, I haven't seen those.
Which those are, that one's all focused around, they are the children, the descendants if you will, of various Disney villains.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh.
It's a sequel to the sequel to the sequel.
That's kind of fun.
They got
four
of those movies now.
I never really got to play this because I don't really play video games, but did you ever play Kingdom Hearts?
Oh, yeah.
So like all the different Disney characters together.
Yeah, I think Kingdom Hearts is one of the best-selling games of all time now.
Oh, okay. I liked that concept of bringing it all together.
I had a buddy who's my wife. She was super into it.
Yeah,
like just super super into it. Like there's some games that are out there that you know they're mainstream, but they have like these super dedicated fan bases that they will gobble it. Like anything like Zelda's probably you know right up there with Mario now is like where it's, if you're just part of that.
False.
Like, those are...
I'm sorry. I know people love their Zelda, but Zelda is nowhere close to Mario.
Oh, no. I'm talking about with, like, sales.
They're just into it. I mean, if a new Mario Kart comes out, we buy that in our household.
No, it's just nuts. Just the fan bases and how rabid they can be with that stuff. But yeah, like, and again, those are all three, you know, Nintendo titles, so it's not exactly shocking. They have a pretty dedicated fan base.
They're one of the more impressive entertainment groups I've ever seen.
I've never owned
Nintendo because
I play video games forever and I haven't had I've never owned a Switch.
Nintendo is fascinating to me because they're like, this is what we do and we don't care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They like let some games cross over to their platform, but not really. They don't let their games go to other platforms.
Right.
They're just kind of like, this is what we do.
Yeah, you're not getting Mario Kart on the PlayStation.
No, you know, it'd be like if the SEC wasn't on, you know, ABC and ESPN and the network and all these different places.
Can you imagine if Nintendo just went full Yamaha and just started making everything? Seriously, have you ever thought about that? Like,
start grading restaurants.
Like, you go full Yamaha. You go into a place and like, look, I need a dirt bike. And like, okay, here we go. We got this for you.
I know.
Can we get you anything else? Yeah, I need a piano.
I need a grand
piano. Guess what?
It's like what were those meetings like?
Here's a recommendation for a 4-star steak joint. It's Nintendo 4-stars.
Yeah. Well, you know the story behind the Michelin, right? Is that
I think I've heard this.
It was because they wanted people to go Because they wanted them to wear out their tires and buy more tires.
But why restaurants?
Because that's where people would go simply.
Yeah, I guess. Because I would want to send you to like Glacier National Park because that's a long way away.
But it's not just that. It's like frequency. That was the whole point.
Mm.
It's pretty diabolical.
Doing it more often instead of one big one.
It's pretty diabolical when you think about
it. It's pretty smart. It's very Mad Men-y.
Yeah, you know, like, hey, what about if we just get, because you remember like when you went out somewhere, early driving days, where would you go?
You would go to dinner, yeah.
Like, so that was the thing.
It's funny, too, to think about at Michelin, there are, like, two departments.
One of them specializes in, like, you know, creating some new kind of rubber.
Right.
And the other one is grating caviar.
Yeah, so it's like, can you imagine the company party?
No.
Yeah, somebody's like, F1 really nailed it this year. And somebody's like, well, the accoutrements at this place in New York City was just not quite my liking.
Yeah, the personnel invited has got to be pretty wild.
I mean, I think you throw plus ones in that, too, just right? for S's and G's.
Just to see what happens. Do you think they have separate parties, or do they just do, like, one big one?
I bet you they have department parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, like not even all the tires. It's like... The rubber scientists, they have their party. The
R&D team.
The R&D team has their party. The street team versus the racing team, they have their own parties. Although I would just throw it together and create chaos.
Just see what happens.
Because that sounds absolutely fun to me.
Just go in there, just smells like rubber. Have you ever been somewhere where there's just like thousands of tires? The overwhelming smell of rubber?
Yeah.
Well, I worked at motorsport.com. We moved warehouses from Mississippi to Virginia. And we moved into a 330-something thousand square foot warehouse, and there was a section that was probably 30,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't understand how big that is, you need a golf cart to get from one side of the building to the other. It's massive.
Oh, I mean, like Nike and HP are campuses like that.
But this is just one building. That's crazy. This is just a warehouse. And to put that into scaling, I was talking about this weekend. The new Amazon building in Woodburn is like 3 million square feet. It's like, what is happening? Anyways, we had tires stacked like 30 feet tall, and it just took over this entire, like, you could smell it, like, on the other side of the warehouse, because like, the petroleum is just so overwhelming. It was like...
sitting in a restaurant with a smoking section.
Yeah, and it was just like, I like that smell. I like that smell.
Like gasoline. Mm. Oakley Doakley, we got a show for y'all today. A lot to get to. The gift that kept on giving, which was Tuesday. We got to get to Jim Harbaugh today, whatever the hell's going on in Montlake. Mm. And somehow Baton Rouge is involved because, of course, it is. A lot to get to. We'll continue our walkabout of NFL teams in the playoffs. Today we will hit you with the Green Bay Packers, the San Francisco 49ers, and the LA Chargers as we look to see how they got here, their playoff situation, and what the future looks like for all those teams. Web Gems as well. We'll chat a little Blazers. We'll have Tyson Alger on, and let's start there with the Oregon Ducks. The running back room getting mighty thin down there. Concerns big time for the Peach Bowl. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM. 1018 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it, baby. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge, 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire day. Shout out to the cats on YouTube. We're already lively over there. YouTube.com/1051TheFan. Come hang out with us. Join in on the fun. This hour, we'll get to Tyson Alger here in about 15 minutes. Chat with him. I believe he's in Atlanta or he's getting ready to go as the Ducks are in the Peach Bowl and the Fan is hitting the road with a watch party at the Thirsty Lions Washington Square location. Dirt and Anthony Newman get things started with Ducks Game Day presented by Coors Light on location at noon. That's right. We will only be a 2-hour show on Friday. We'll turn it over to the boys and get that game started. Join the Fan Friday, January 9th at the Thirsty Lions Washington Square location for the rematch of Oregon and Indiana in the college football playoff semifinals. There was already a lot to get to when it came to this football game, the rematch, quarterback play, coaches, transfer portals, how each programs are built, brands, identities, etc. Well, a big thing hit. There were some rumors circulating around. I actually saw them on Monday night, but there were no real sources around it. Talking with Dirt and Brandon this morning about that, it kind of felt a little message boardy. Some people were reporting stuff but couldn't acknowledge their sources. Mm-hmm. And then the team officially put out an injury report, and Jordan Davison is out. The rumor on the street is a broken collarbone that he suffered at the end of the Texas Tech game. With guys going in the transfer portal and Davison going down, this running back room gets real light real quick.
Yeah, and that's, you know, when you're looking at playing Indiana and you want to make sure you're controlling the ball, that's a massive loss.
Huge.
That's a massive loss. And look, Indiana's playing without Stephen Daly.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a big loss.
It's a massive loss for them. But, you know, I was also listening to the boys this morning, and they the mention of Indiana and how they've played over the last couple of weeks, I think they've gotten better. I mean, look what they did against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't run the ball, you were in trouble.
Agreed. I mean, I think you could flip that. I think you can say Oregon's better too, but that's what makes it tough.
Yeah.
Oregon has gotten better over the season and are in a better position to win this game. The problem is so did Indiana.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't take a ton of investment in the final score of the Big Ten title game.
Mm.
But to me, kind of like the Seahawks Niners the other night, that was kind of an ass beating.
Yeah.
Saying couldn't do anything.
No.
But they did have their guy, and they didn't have him against Bama. We could argue that Bama team is not as good as maybe they want us to think they
are. I mean, their offensive line is not good, and obviously they're with Jam Miller being dinged up pretty much the whole season.
But what's one of Cignetti's giant calling cards for this Indiana team? Mm-hmm. Physicality.
Yeah.
Physicality. And Jordan Davison provided that in the run game. You have De'Aaron Hill, who is dynamic.
Who's terrifying in the open field.
When he gets the open field, like, buckle up. Here we go. You have Noah Whittington, who's kind of a mix of a little both. Kind of maybe your more, I don't know, traditional back, I guess.
It's not thunder and lightning in the sense between Davison and Whittington, but it's not that.
And Davison was your thunder.
Yeah.
Was your goal line stance. I mean, I remember in the beginning of the year, we didn't really have Davison on our board.
But then he became a touchdown vulture.
Exactly. We didn't have him on the board as being the guy, but when you get down there, you give him the ball and pound it in. That score against Texas Tech looks like it does because of Jordan Davison.
You know, Reggie Bush gets all of the credit, and rightfully so, at USC. Go look at Lendale White.
Without a doubt.
White outrushed him.
Mm-hmm. It's the open field stuff that made Reggie absolutely dynamic.
Lendale does not get anywhere near the credit he deserved for what he was doing with that team.
So
and it's just bonkers.
I don't know where Oregon goes from here. I think that's the big question. You know, I don't scout the team. I just kind of watch and read what I can. Noah Whittington did not have a great game against Texas Tech.
Jaden Lamar hitting the transfer portal. There's people freaking out about it, but it now hurts a little bit more.
It kind of does. So I don't know if
two of your top four backs are gone.
The fun stories I heard yesterday on the interwebs were, you know, Bryce Betcher, third string running back, Kenyon Sadiq, run the Wildcat. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. You know, this is an all eyes on Will Stein. I think one of the toughest things
or is it even all eyes on Will Stein?
Fair. I think one of the toughest things about this is you're already, because of situationally, not because of their performance, but against Texas Tech, it was a big ask from that offensive line. It was a very, very big ask in that game. And for the most part, they stepped up to it. There were some times where Harkey had some rough moments.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah World had some rough moments as well. But that's that defensive line, that front seven of Texas Tech. But I need you to do that again, and now you're down a bruiser. I worry. I don't want to say that Davison out is the death nail in the coffin for Oregon. I don't know where I'm going in this game. I haven't quite made my mind up yet. I know where you are, and I probably lean your way.
And it has nothing to do with Oregon, everything to do with Indiana.
Without a doubt. And I don't think Davison being out is the death nail by any means. And we'll ask Tyson about it too. But eventually, the clock's going to strike midnight on the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
That O-line is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Finished second in the nation as a unit. We've been massively impressed by them because they're retooled basically the entire thing this year. But eventually, will the straw break the camel's back?
Yeah.
Am I asking you to do too much?
And, you know, controlling the ball, not making mistakes, you know, limiting things, getting yourself in it. One of the biggest things, listening to Pate this morning, you know, that first matchup was Dante having to conquer third and long over and over and over again. Well, how do you alleviate that? Run the ball.
Run the ball. Play action. I mean, play action started to work really nicely against Texas Tech.
And the other thing about this is, if that's the case and you can't lean on Whittington, let's say he has one of those games where it's not bad, but it's not the great Noah Whittington mm-hmm. games, then you have to turn the ball over to Dante a little bit more.
I agree. And
what does that do?
And we'll talk some more about Dante, because I think he is the key for Oregon mm-hmm. if they want to win this game. But kind of like what I was saying with the offensive line, you are now throwing more on the shoulders of Dante. Again, I don't want to make this sound like Oregon's toast because Jordan Davison is out. That's not how this team is built. Next man up mentality, blah, 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 depth, et cetera, et cetera. But there are little things starting to chip away that if I'm Cignetti, I'm not getting cocky, but I'm starting to feel a little bit better more and more as the day goes on. Because there aren't these stories coming out of Indiana.
No.
Not that it's a story, but they've, outside of their boy on the D-line, mm-hmm. they've largely avoided this.
Yeah.
And
to be honest, all four teams remaining have.
Mm-hmm. This is really the only big hurt. Yeah. You know, Lacey's back for Ole Miss, yep. so he's in a good spot. You know, Malachi Toney seems totally healthy, mm-hmm. as does Carson Beck, as does that D-line.
As healthy as you can be at this point of the Stevens. But, yeah, you aren't, like, missing guys. And Oregon, you know, got lucky in a sense of, like, they got guys back. Mm-hmm. They got DeCorian back. You know, they got Gary Bryan Jr. back. They got guys back. And, you know, it remains to be seen with Evan Stewart. But, like, so you're hoping going into this, it's unfortunate that he picks up that, you know, broken clavicle at the end of the game.
Reports are that he's going to be out for the... Dude, he's got a broken collarbone.
Yeah, it's like...
I don't want to confirm
this.
He's
a running back.
I don't want to confirm this, but... Bro, I'll confirm it for you.
Yeah, he's out.
I don't know anything. He out.
Yeah.
He's out. Unless he, like Mike Evans, goes to Europe and gets stem cells or something.
Let's go to the Wolverine back. Treatment, gets the adamantium.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a great point that you bring up, Danny, that everyone in the Final Four has kind of dodged this mm-hmm. bullet. Again, Jordan Davison, not the be-all, end-all, but a nice piece. It sucks that it's the team against the hardest team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this was a Ole Miss, if
Oregon Ole Miss. Yeah.
I don't want to say Malachi Toney because he's so explosive and so fun. But if there's like the number two offensive guy for Miami goes mm-hmm. down, which because I like Miami in that mm-hmm. game. If the number two offensive guy goes down for Miami, you're like, ooh, kind of an even matchup mm-hmm. here. Indiana was already slightly above in my mind against Oregon. And this just kind of takes it to a different level.
I wonder, has there been any shift in the spread?
Last I heard, it's at 3. Didn't it open at 4.5?
The other way.
Yeah. So money's coming in on Oregon.
Oregon, Indiana. Indiana, 3.5.
3.5.
Went down, came back up.
I don't know how to gamble.
Both games are at 3.5. Miami 3.5, Indiana 3.5.
I wonder what the spread would be in the Natty if that were to play out the way they assume it will.
Indiana 3.5.
Indiana 3.5. Gonna be wild. Gonna be a wild game for sure. I want to see this offense evolve then. You know, if mm-hmm. you're gonna miss a guy like that, then I had this conversation with Andy during one of their commercial breaks when I got in this morning. I was like, I don't know if I should be frustrated with Will Stein's play calling, if they don't trust Dante, or, you know, I need to see more Dante opening up the offense. And he was just like, I think it's all the above. Now I think the pressure is, it was already there, but I think it's squarely on Dante right now. He's got to have a great game.
Yeah,
he's got it.
The other thing, we'll have Tyson here in just a minute. Thing I want to ask him is, you know, this is Lanning's, and it's another opportunity in a rematch where those have not gone his way.
No, they haven't.
Whether it's Ohio State or Washington.
That's true. All right, we come back. Let's bring our boy in, Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield. We'll have a conversation, wrap up the Texas Tech game real quick, and then we'll get into the Peach Bowl. We'll do that next. But first, the Kahuna with sports.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
All right, it's a Wednesday at 10:30. That means our guy, Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield, joins us. Tyson, I know you're a busy man. Thank you, as always, for spending some time with us. I hope your travels are safe and you're getting a little R&R in, but let's dive right into it since I know you're a busy man. Let's put a quick little bow on the Texas Tech game. Your thoughts coming out of that game, whether it be the offensive line play, Dante Moore, Oregon defense, what was the best thing for you coming out of that game?
I just really feel like that's like if Dan Lanning had to kind of like draw up a perfect win for just him and his reputation as a coach, like I think I think that might be it. You know, Oregon's defense in his 4 years has been statistically good, especially if you look at the regular season. But we've seen a few times in these big games where it just hasn't shown up in key situations. And especially early in this game when Texas Tech's front seven looked like it was going to be hounding Dante Moore, I was just going like, oh boy, like the defense better show up in this one. And they absolutely did. To get a shutout in that type of game against that type of team, there was no talent discrepancy in this game. You know, Texas Tech is just as loaded as the Ducks are in terms of NIL and transfers and all that. And so for them to be able to post Oregon's first postseason shutout since 1917, I think that's one you can really hang your hat on. You know, you can get into the fact that Texas Tech's offense really didn't look that good to begin with, and their quarterback wasn't all that mobile, and maybe you'd like to see a little bit better play from Oregon's line and see the running game get going. But in terms of that stage and the expectations of that game to pitch a shutout, I thought that was incredibly impressive.
Tyson, pivoting to the Indiana game, the news of the day, as my voice decides to spear right there, the news of the day obviously is the Jordan Davidson injury and him being out. How big of an impact is this going to be for Oregon, where an Indiana team where it seems like the only way you can possibly beat them is to kind of control the clock, control the game, and be more physical? Like, how much of a loss is Davidson for the Ducks?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because I remember coming on here for the first, 4 or 5 weeks of the season where it felt like you could roll a die and whatever number that was who was going to lead the team in rushing that week. It seems like they just had so many backs they could choose from. And whether it be through the transfer portal with guys that we've seen in the last week, with like Mekhi Hughes and Jaden Lamar or Davidson, who has really kind of been the breakout freshman in that locker room. It hurts. I mean, like it definitely helps that you still have a Noah Whittington as your number one. You still have that experience and then that talent, and Deer Hill has been fantastic this year as well. But I think it just cuts down the margins for error. You know, this is an incredibly long season. Whatever Oregon team, or if Oregon wins the national championship, it'll be the longest season they've ever played in team history. And with that, you need depth, you need numbers. And I think the Ducks still have two really good guys there, but it's just two guys now. It's the depth is definitely gone.
Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield. I want to get to Dante Moore in a minute, but something kind of piggyback off what you're saying there, the no room for error. Do you think this changes the offensive approach from this team or adjust it a little bit? Or is it just a couple guys are going to get more carries and we stick to the script?
I don't think it changes a whole lot of what you're going to do out of the backfield, because the two guys they still have are pretty different from each other. You know, Hill is better coming out of the backfield and kind of the passing game, and then Whittington can be a bruiser. So I think they still have options there. So I can't imagine that changes things a whole lot, other than maybe you don't just ground and pound it every play, especially if you're up, and you just kind of want to keep guys healthy, especially because you're going to have to turn around and fly across the country yet again if you win.
Tyson, in that vein, you know, if you're not going to ground and pound it and you got to lean on somebody, that means it's Dante Moore that you're leaning on. Is this an opportunity now for Dante for not to kind of be on display and have all eyes on him, but this obviously is the biggest game he's played. But even more than that, this is maybe the biggest game he's played where he's going to have probably the largest ask on him. Like, what do you think that says about where Oregon's going to go or how they go about this, especially with, you know, Will Stein kind of on his way out to go take his next job and just kind of some differences that might happen coming into this game?
Yeah, it's really kind of a redemptive game for him, because going into that Indiana game, Dante Moore was the name in the country. He was the one who went on the road and beat Penn State, and he was the one whose name was in the Heisman front runner. And yes, Fernando Mendoza was right there with him, but I feel like Moore was the hot name, and then Mendoza comes into Indiana and significantly outplays Moore. And everything from that game has kind of been working back towards this moment. I mean, like, you know, Moore had an injury he had to overcome. He had to play through a lot of bad weather. He had to play through just about every receiver on the roster picking up an injury. And he's put up really good numbers, and he's improved week to week. But the one thing that he talked about coming into this week in the rematch is he just can't make it into something bigger than it is, especially when he's on the field. He said in the first game against Indiana, he was just going through everything too quickly. He was just accelerating everything, and it forced him to miss some guys it forced him to take off running in certain instances when there was still a play to be made, maybe in the pocket. So I think this is a huge game for him, but his success in it is going to be his ability to compartmentalize that and really kind of play within the moment.
There's a narrative going around, I don't really think locally, but maybe nationally, that Oregon can't win this game unless Dante plays perfect. Do you agree with that assessment, or is it just kind of the faith people have in the story and the talent and coaching that Indiana brings?
I don't think Dante has to play perfect. I don't think he can hurt them, though. Like, if he, you know, has two turnovers, I just think this Indiana team is so good at capitalizing on mistakes that I think he could definitely lose it for them. But I think more than anything, for me, the onus is on the offensive line. We've seen more when he has protection play as good as any quarterback in the country. And when the line collapses a little bit and he's under duress, you see games more like how he played against Indiana the first time. I think they had, what was it, 5 or 6 sacks in that game. And it was really just kind of jarring to see him under pressure that often. And same goes for the running game, too. We just talked about them being down to 2 guys. Well, it's going to really help if the front is able to create some push for them and they're not hit in the backfield and just taking so many hits throughout the game. So for me, this game really begins in the trenches for the Ducks and kind of extends from there.
Tyson, that front for Texas Tech physically is, I think for most people's money, is the most dominant in the country. Indiana does not have that from a physical profile, but the way that they attack not only, you know, everybody they play, but the way they attacked Oregon, you mentioned it kind of sped Dante up. Like, how much is this second time around, not only for Dante, but for Dan Lanning, who's kind of had a rough go of it in rematches, whether it's Ohio State or Washington? Like, how much of that second time around for both these guys, how much does it matter?
Well, you know, there's that whole adage of it's hard to beat the same team twice. I don't know how much substance Oregon should put into that, considering the Washington stuff the last couple of years. But I think a lot of what happened in that game, because you did talk about the fact that Indiana's not as talented up front as Texas Tech. They don't have the same sort of bodies, but they're just really well coached. And Lanning and players have just talked about just kind of like the different and confusing looks that they threw at them. Like they just saw a lot of stuff coming at them in that game that they hadn't really seen all season. They hadn't seen an offense like that. They hadn't seen a defense like that. They hadn't just seen disguises like that. And so, yeah, I think being able to have that on film and to have experienced that and to expect that coming in is going to be huge for them. But also, Indiana's a pretty darn well coached team. I don't know if you've heard of this Cignetti guy that everyone's talking about across the country. I think they're going to be prepping a few different things that maybe they didn't show on film the first time too.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. You getting used to the East Coast, buddy?
You know what? I hate it. I hate it.
Or
so
the
much.
Down like, south, I should say.
The games come on so late, guys. Mm. Like, yeah, it's not good. West Coast forever.
All right, buddy. We'll travel safe. We'll catch up with you next week, and maybe you'll be heading back to the East Coast again.
Ooh, can't wait. Can't wait.
All right. He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. Make sure you catch his stuff wherever you can. He joins us every single Wednesday. Gracious enough to give us his time. He only offered us one this time. That's okay. We'll take it wherever we can get it.
He's traveling today.
Oh, he is traveling today. Yes. Okay. Let's put a little bow on this Oregon conversation, and then we'll continue on to some other stuff. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Your thoughts going into this game? The offensive line, Jordan Davison, Dante Moore, the defense, etc., or Indiana itself. We'll get to that next. That's Danny over there. I'm Patrick, 105.1 The Fan. 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. I'll read some thoughts for you right now. Alabama's struggle all season was running the ball, and now Oregon is thin at that position. But the biggest thing for me is Oregon's line hasn't been dominant in the second half of the season. I don't know if I fully agree with that. I think they've been asked a lot of, as we kind of have waxed on a little bit, and I think for the most part they've delivered. I mean, a shutout against that, I guess that's the defensive side, but being able to put 20 points on that Texas Tech team with a lot of stuff not going your way, I think worked out well in Oregon's favor on that. Let's see. I know it's been harped on the last 48 hours, but sadly the lack of depth at running back has swayed my prediction. As a Ducks fan, I think Indiana gets it done because we cannot depend on any level of the run game with Dante. He does not have that in his bag, and his arm talent might be amazing, but I personally haven't been floored by that. Sadly, my gut says Indiana Would love to be surprised, but losing that many backs and depth sways it for me.
See, here's where
that's the Dante question there.
Here's where I come from, though, is that we had a few weeks in a row there where Oregon's wide receiver depth was thin as hell. And they got around it by using more Kenyon Sadiq and more Jamari Johnson and more tight end sets and whatnot.
And so Malik Benson.
And so I think even with this lack of depth now at the running back position, get ready for this. You guys are going to hear football brain rust here. Look for more like screen passes out to the bubble, out on the edges to
get him in the open
air. Use
that
as like a different kind of run game.
And yeah, and I've seen that a lot from Oregon this year. And as a football fan, it drives me nuts. Like, I hate watching that style of offense, but it is an extension of the run game.
Yeah.
Throwing out
as long as Dante doesn't quit throwing the ball right in like a defensive lineman's chest.
Well,
it'll
the other
be
side
okay.
of this is, you know, they tried to do that against Tech, but Tech was jumping those lanes
really
hard.
Well.
And that's what Indiana does. They play in space really, really well. They aren't the level of athlete that Texas Tech has, you know. I brought this point up so many times. Bartu has Cignetti as the highest graded coach in college football in his database.
It's amazing.
It's what he's done this year. So if you don't think that they're looking at that and seeing Davison out and going, okay, we probably need to prepare for this, we probably need to look back at some game film and go, you know, what did they do with Whittington and certain situations, or what did they do with Deer Hill? Like, how would they try to manipulate this? How would they maybe put a wrinkle in this? And they're going to do what they need to do to be prepared for that.
Yeah, and I think there's something fun to mention about Cignetti passing over to Dan Lanning. Lanning's got to get up for this game. You know, not that he ever needs inspiration, but there was a really funny moment on Dirt and Sprague this morning when Josh Pate joined them, as he does frequently, talking about how he's riling up Dan Lanning. This is just fun audio, and if you missed it this morning, I thought I'd share it with you right now.
I think Dan Lanning needs to be verbally abused before games, and so I'm doing it this week. I have pulled up right now my text to Dan Lanning over the past week, and one of them was, "Nobody believes in you, don't show up." That one got an exclamation mark. The second one was, "It's hard for a man who has known hunger to ever be full." And I let him guess which coach I was describing. And then the one yesterday I sent him, this finally got an actual reaction in terms of words. "Only one thing is more flammable than smell." Hold on. Scratch. poor takeoff there. "Only one thing is more flammable and smells stronger than gasoline, and that's doubt." And I attributed that one to Meemaw, which I think is why he responded. And I will continue this practice up until kickoff.
Thank you.
Because if he needs someone to stare daggers at as he takes the field, if he needs someone to rage out on in the mirror right before the game, I'm happy to serve that purpose. Yeah, he knows I'm a friend of the program. But I just think sometimes he needs to be reminded, hey, you've low-key kind of sucked in these second go-arounds against Washington and DeBoer, against Ohio State last year. Now you get another shot against Indiana. It's time to rewrite the book, my friend. It's time. Don't embarrass me. That's my main message to Dan. Don't embarrass me. I stand up for you. Do not embarrass me.
That is Josh Pate on Dirt and Sprague this morning. I think there is an attribute that's kind of sometimes lost in this. Dan's crazy.
Yeah.
Sig got the swag. Okay, he's got the old man, I'm lifting up a car to save a baby swag to him.
Sure.
Lanning's full-on psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this, you know, as Dirt loves to say, you know, nobody's given us a chance. I don't know if that's enough for Lanning. I think he needs more.
Yeah.
And maybe Davison going down and, you know, some fair critiques of Dante fire him up to, you know, hit some bumps and let's really do this thing.
Is that enough?
Is that, I don't know. You know, I think it can be. I think Lanning.
Remember, he played with fire in that Penn State game.
Agreed. And, you know, we asked Tyson about this, Tyson Alger previously, you know, does Dante have to play clean? Does Lanning have to coach clean?
Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder, like, what they do in those third and long and fourth down situations.
Agreed.
Like, those seem like if Oregon can get those, they can be in this game.
I think we'll have a convo about Dante tomorrow or maybe Friday. And I'm kind of on the not fully opposite, but I'm a little on the other side of Tyson. I think Dante's got to be pretty clean and not just no turnovers, but I mean, third downs, fourth downs, like you're saying, as this texter is worried about his running ability, like I might need to see some more of that. I'm going to need a lot out of Dante in this game. I think the same goes with Lanning a little bit too. I think he's got to be kind of point.
You got to get an A, maybe not an A plus, but you got to get an A coach.
I don't know if it's the, sorry, Russ, real quick. I don't know if it's what you're saying about the rematch per se, but that does exist. That does exist. And to Pate's point as well, maybe that's what he needs to get that going.
And I think, and Lanning got a lot of crap for going for it so many times on fourth down last week. But the thing is, what I, and I told you guys this during the break, and I texted you this after the game. I said, that game, that Texas Tech game, that Orange Bowl was Dan Lanning's masterpiece.
It really was.
And I say that because we might not have liked all of those fourth down decisions, but he stuck to it.
And in hindsight,
he stuck to his guns.
And in hindsight, he did it because he knew that Tech offense couldn't do squadoosh.
And honestly, out of all of those fourth down attempts, the only one I really hated was the direct snap to Davison.
Agreed.
Because you're on the 2 yard line, and look, you put him right back there. He's the only one. Everybody in the building knows what's going to happen. So that's the only one that I really didn't like. And of course, guess what? Had it worked, I wouldn't be saying anything about that right now. Nobody would. But I was impressed because, like I said, he stuck to his he committed. He committed to the bit.
Mm-hmm. 10 toes down.
Yeah.
I think Oregon can win this game. I do. I truly believe they can win this game. Lanning's going to have to out-coach Sig. Mm-hmm. That's a tough ask.
Has anybody done that this year?
No.
Okay.
Dante's going to have to outplay a kid with a statue. That's a tough ask.
I mean, and who has Indiana played? You know,
Indiana's had a tough schedule too. You know, Penn State took them to the brink. That was on the road, kind of their bowl game, even though I guess they, you know, high rated against Clemson. But they played Iowa on the road. They played Oregon on the road. They played Penn State on the road, and they played Ohio State in the Big Ten title game.
In a neutral stadium.
In a neutral stadium. That's a tough road.
So
it ain't Alabama's cupcake walk. You seen Alabama's cupcake walk?
Yeah. I mean, well, you took down Ryan Day. You took down Dan Lanning. You took down Kirk Ferentz. Mm-hmm. Like when you're talking about like coaches, Sig got it done.
Right, but think back to last season though too, because coming into the playoff and whatnot, did anybody say, hey, did Dan Lanning ever get out coached this season? What happened with Dan Lanning and the Ducks? Did he ever get out coached? No, he didn't, but he went and got his ass whipped by Ohio State. So that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not predicting like an Oregon ass whooping of Indiana here or anything.
Yeah, I think
it's unfair to write them off.
Oh, I'm not writing them off.
And say that nobody has outcoached Kurt Cignetti yet, so it can't happen.
I don't think anybody's getting their ass whooped in this game.
No, I don't think so. Well, the players themselves are getting their asses whooped.
But I don't think scoreboard
not
says
one
it.
Team over another.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. You could put any team in front of Indiana. I'm going to say the same thing.
And you're going to take Indiana.
They've been the best team in the country.
I'll finish up with
3.5-point spread, by the way.
Finish up with this texter. It also feels like Sig and Mendoza. It's a season of destiny. Indiana 17-14, very defensive game. Wouldn't shock me.
Kind of felt like that with Oregon last year, too.
Kind of did.
That's it.
Well, you might have concerns about your Oregon Ducks. You might be worried about your quarterback, but at least you got a quarterback. The craziest thing that's going on right now.
Try not to get too excited about this.
I am not. I am trying to be non-biased and just focus on the situation at hand up in Montlake in Seattle. The mistake by the lake. You hate to see it. And somehow, some way, this is involved in Baton Rouge, too. Because, of course, it is. The Huskies need a new quarterback? Hour number deuce, 105.1 The Fan.